Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Crime and Investigations, I Am a Killer is a brand new 10-part true crime documentary series produced in partnership with Netflix by an excellent production team including me, Danny Tipping.
And me, Tom Adams. Each episode tells the story of a prisoner convicted of capital murder and sentenced to death.
In this podcast, we'll be going into the making of each episode, revealing what it was like to produce this incredible series.
My name is Joshua David Nelson. I'm 40 years old and I'm on death row. I've been here 20 years and I was 18 in like 2 months when I caught this case.
Episode 10, Joshua Nelson. It's a really strong film and a great way to end the series. And as much as it, I think it has a lot of the elements that make this such a good series. As we mentioned, Josh was the first guy to write back to us and agree to film. He was very open and communicative in his first letter, gave us lots of details and was clearly willing to talk and share his story. It's called More Than a Murderer, and I think in this instance, and Tom, correct me, that one of Joshua's comments is that I'm more than this. I don't want to be remembered for the worst thing I ever did. And part of the motivation for telling his story was that he wanted to the opportunity to tell his story and explain what he did and how, you know, his life has changed. And, you know, in the years he's been in prison, he doesn't want people to remember him, you know, quite literally for the worst thing he ever did, which was the murder he committed with his friend and, you know, essentially to steal a car. You know, he's very self-aware, Josh. I think he's very open and honest. And I think it troubles him deeply that this is how he will be remembered. He spent like a lot of these guys, the lion's share of his life in prison and behind bars. And effectively, I think he feels his life ended, or, you know, he's one person up until the point he's committed that crime. And then since then, he's been regarded, you know, as the criminal and the murderer that he's known as.
And then I hit him with the bat several more times, really hard. Everything that I had dealt with my entire life came out at that moment, and all those feelings, all that anger, and it just all happened in that moment.
Josh's remorse or wish not to be remembered as murdered doesn't detract from the crimes he committed and the effect it's had on the people left behind. We meet the victim's mother in the film, and she is still carrying, you know, the loss of her son, and is extremely emotional and doesn't want to hear from Josh and doesn't, you know, understandably doesn't, isn't interested in his thoughts and feelings about the crime he committed and the circumstances.
The other thing to note about Josh is he's an inmate who had a very difficult upbringing. Again, none of it is an excuse, but also he doesn't give it as an excuse. It might be very easy to say, I had a tough time and this is what happens when you have a tough time. But he says, I don't think any of that played into what happened that day.
In their minds, they had a reason. They planned. Thinking back, no, there was absolutely no reason. Tommy was trying to tell him, take the car. You know, he knew they were killing him, but they continued. They made the decision to kill him. They could have just taken a car and left, but they made the wrong choice. Now they're paying for it. And one's going to pay with his life.
occasionally we would play sections of interview to some of our interviewees and get them to respond to what they'd heard. Now, if people didn't want to listen to things, then that was fine. We didn't, as a matter of course, expect them to listen to things. We didn't, as a matter of course, want them to comment on things. So it was more a case of when there was something interesting in an interview that we felt was worth someone else listening to and responding to. That's when we would decide to do it. It wasn't done every time we interviewed someone, and it wasn't something that we would offer them every time. It was only when we felt it would actually help us tell the story that we started using that device. And what we had was we had our interviews put on an MP3 player, and some people would put headphones on and listen to the MP3 player through headphones. Occasionally, when we were playing clips to inmates, we had a little speaker that we would use. And occasionally, when it was too difficult to actually play them pieces, we ended up reading out transcripts. So we would give them the words, but heard read out by our producer or our director.
There was a decision early on. Obviously, as I say, the team have made a fair amount of true crime and historical drama docs, and there was a decision fairly early on actually not to use a huge amount of drama reconstruction in this series. So where we do, it's to paint a picture and to highlight some of the areas that are being discussed and the stories being told by our inmates. So we only dramatise the events that are relayed by our inmates, our key contributors.
For the most part, yeah.
For the most part. Yeah. And even then, very subtly. And
I think what we didn't want to do was lay everything out in crystal clear drama, as it were, crystal clear reenactments. Because these are different voices giving different versions of the same event, we didn't want one version to be the truth and others to question that. We wanted all of them to be given equal weighting, as it were. So we did make the decision to dramatise elements of our inmates' stories, but hopefully in an impressionistic way that didn't drive the point home. There was still room to manoeuvre within that visualisation of those events.
It is impressionistic, and I think we were conscious that we were dramatising memories and reinforcing their version. So, you know, that's an approach that's carried through the whole series, and I think works very well.
I just want to be seen for all that I am, not that moment. That one unbelievable, terrible, horrific decision. I'm more than that, and yeah, that was one of the motivators for doing this. I know that it's probably not going to matter much, but I want people to know that it's not so simple. It's not that clear cut. It's, you know, I'm not an animal that needs to be put down.
Episode 10, Joshua Nelson. This is the last episode in the series, and I think it's a great end to the series. But strangely, it brings us right back to the beginning, because Josh Nelson was the first person to respond to our first batch of letters we sent to prisons across the US.
And so it's another film that asks a lot of questions of the audience. It's, you know, it's interesting and challenging to hear Josh tell the story in the way he tells it.
It is. He's very open and very honest about all aspects of his crime and gives extraordinary testimony, I think. I think it is his honesty that also allows you to engage with him. He's under no illusion. You know, what he did was shocking and awful, and he is the first to admit that. He's hiding nothing, and because of that, he is a very, very compelling character to watch. His testimony is extraordinary. And his point about being remembered for the worst thing he's ever done, it does make you start thinking, what would you be remembered for the worst thing you ever did? I don't know.
We'd love to hear what you think of the series. Comment on Facebook or Twitter with hashtag IAmAKiller. And don't forget to rate us and subscribe to this podcast series.
The I'm a Killer podcast is hosted by Tom Adams and Danny Tipping and is produced by Sam Pearson, Steph Nardilli and Matt Talent, with editing by Susanna Lawrence.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
What makes a stalker tick? I'm Ruchira Sharma, inviting you to delve into Anatomy of a Stalker, an original crime and investigation podcast.
That police officer's partner drove to my house to warn me that this man would kill me.
She'd look in the rearview mirror, out from the back seat would up pop the ex-husband.
Don't miss Anatomy of a Stalker. Listen and follow wherever you get your podcasts. The hunt begins now.